years ago. And so today, I usually say this, yes, I want to say this here. Since the evolution of human beings, and human beings developed this intelligence, when we faced problems and difficulties, the people started believing in some kind of a deity who would protect them from the fearful states, and where they found that they do not have the means to overcome those difficulties, and therefore began trusting some kind of a deity and trusted by trusting them. And so perhaps it's been many thousands of years. And then later on, not only saying that there are spirits and gods and so forth, but by looking for reasons in order to strengthen their faith, this kind of system developed. And so the Egyptian civilization developed about 5,000 years ago, and also the Chinese civilization around 5,000 years, and then the Indian Indus-Valley civilization about 5,000 years ago developed. And so people's understanding, mental capacity developed stronger. And then philosophical ideas also, explanation of philosophical ideas developed as well in order to strengthen and one's our faith. And as I said in the last days, so many of you know this, of course, but some of you may not have heard me saying this. One time in Amritsar, there was an international interfaith meeting, a seminar sort of thing, led by some Sikh practitioners. And then there were many other representatives or participants from different religious traditions. And there was one Sufi scholar, which is one sect of within Islam. And so they emphasize compassion, love. And so this Sufi scholar said that all the religious traditions of the world answer three questions. The first question being, what is a self? What is I or self? And then second question is, whether this I or self has a beginning or not. And then the third question, whether this I or self has an end or not. And so he said, all religious traditions find answers to these three questions. So this is very nice way of putting. So with regard to the first question, what is the self? So before Buddhism came into this world and after Buddhism came into this world, all the religious traditions other than Buddhism believe in a self which governs our body and mind combination or aggregates. And so what we in Buddhism is called, termed as a unitary, permanent, autonomous self. whereas Buddhism says there is no such a self. This is just philosophical developed idea, an adventitious idea, which in turn comes in our mind because of our innate clinging to the self. And therefore, so from amongst the many major religious traditions, maybe there may be 10 or 15 of them, so it is only the teaching of the Buddha in which it is said that there is no self. And then regarding the second question, whether the self has a beginning or not, so there are theistic religions and non-theistic religions. We can divide the religious traditions, major religious traditions, in these two camps. And so the former group, the theistic religious traditions, say that the self comes into being at the time of creation. So I know many Christian practitioners, and there are people who a Christian who was a practitioner as well as a scholar. I asked him what is wrong if Christianity believed in a past life. And so his answer was, there is no previous life. This very life was created by God. And so this is a powerful answer, because when you say that this very life was created by God, so we could relate to God directly, not having to go through some kind of a lineage teachers and so forth. So the purpose of this kind of teaching is to practice love, compassion, tolerance, forgiveness, and so forth. And so these kind of, the messages which are given in this kind of tradition gives a very strong determination and belief and trust in God to actually carry out the will of God. And then so within the theistic religions there are those who believe in past and future lives as well. So within the Indian Brahmanical religion, ultimately it is said that everything was came from God, but then they also developed the idea of believing in past and future lives. Now, within the non-theistic tradition, there is the non-theistic Sankhya school, and Jainism and Buddhism. So, amongst these, the first one, non-theistic Sankhya school, says that the conscious I has no beginning. I met a Hindu scholar who told me that there is no beginning to this consciousness self. Although I didn't have any opportunity to discuss about this with Jain scholars, but in Buddhism, there is no beginning to the self or I, because since the I or self is designated based on the aggregate, mainly the consciousness aggregates. Which must come from its own similar, type, which is similar to it. Because if it didn't come from such a cause, it must either come from come about without any causes, or from incompatible causes, or some permanent, unchanging cause. So that is not feasible. And therefore, according to Buddhism, there's no belief in a creator God, nor a belief in a permanent, unitary, autonomous self, or Atman, or soul. And the self is without beginning. Now, with regard to the third question, whether the self has an end or not, so when we discuss with non-theistic religious people what happens after we die, in Christianity, they have this custom of burying the body, the dead body, in a coffin, an underground, and then they believe that there is a final judgment on which day those who have done good would be sent up to heaven or led to heaven by God, and those who have done evil who have gone against the will of God and who have been disobedient to God would be sent to hell. And so, of course, if you reach heaven and you live there forever, then it's okay. But how about those who go to hell and who would live there forever? And then when I asked this, the Christian practitioners did not have any answer to it. They say they don't have any answer. And then in Shintoism in Japan, so they say that after death, automatically the person would go to some kind of a heaven or paradise. So this seems to be quite good, doesn't it? And so the ancestors who have died, they say, are living happily. And then, as Jainism says that once one attains moksha, then one remains and forever. And then the Sankhya school says that once you attain the moksha, one actually merges with that Paramatma, the God. Whereas in Buddhism, except for some sub-school within Vaibhashikas, Vasiputra or something like that, then who say that after becoming arahat and when you die, there is no more of any continuity of your mind or anything. And so that is the end of yourself, whereas the other schools within Buddhist philosophical systems say that self does not have an end. So within the consciousness, of course, there are different degrees of subtlety. So there are the gross states of mind and or consciousness and the subtle ones. And so the mere luminous or clear and a cognitive nature of the mind cannot have any end, because if you do posit an end to it, then there will be logical fallacies that you would have to face. And so the afflictive emotions, which has their own counter measures, because of that, They can be ended, but the mere nature of the mind, which is luminous, luminosity and awareness, does not have any counter measures or antidotes that can actually seize its continuity. And so all the negative emotions which are distorted in terms of their perception of things can be ended through antidote, by applying the antidote against them. So the basic mind, a clear and aware nature, which has this clear and aware nature, goes up to Buddhahood. Up to Buddhahood. And so Buddhism in general, and particularly the Buddhism which has come from the Nalanda tradition, in which many people who actually do investigation and research find it quite interesting and admirable. And so, since around 3,000 or 4,000 years, these religious traditions with some philosophical grounding developed in this world. So since 3,000 to 4,000 years until the last 200 years, until before the last 200 years, these religious traditions actually have been in the world. And then around 200 years ago, people started investigating the external things, matter. And so, because of that, what we actually expected expected to come through prayers and so forth, because of the scientific and technological developments, and because they could be achieved easily, and therefore, in the last 100 years, because science and technology actually brought about the things practically to people, and therefore people started believing in science and technology more. Although we have although there are many people who follow religious faith, but people in general started putting their trust and belief in science. Then, towards the end of the 20th century, so people have started begun to see that the mental problems cannot be overcome through material progress. People who have all the necessities in life, all the facilities that they need for living, find that their problems and difficulties cannot be overcome through the scientific and technological developments. And then, some neuroscientists, brain scientists, have now found that there is something which can actually, something which is apart, different from the, apart from the brain, which can actually impact the brain itself. Of course, many of our experiences may be it's quite clear that many of our experiences are related to brain function, but some people today say that the brain can be affected by something else. So these people are those who have been doing research and investigation. So through their research and investigation and experiment, they found such things. So we need also to do that in our medical system. So medical doctors have found these things. So I had a discussion with a medical scientist. Because of course, we can experience ourselves that due to some change in the brain, we undergo different experiences. But I said that without there being any kind of disturbance in the physical elements and the brain cells and so forth, merely by bringing up some thought in us, isn't it possible that there is something going on in the brain, a change? And this doctor, the medical scientist, said that it seems it's possible, but this cannot be true. So this kind of scientists are more narrow-minded and radical scientists. So recently also I met a scientist. So he was quite honest. When I asked him questions, he said sometimes that he didn't know that. But then he was quite staunch classical scientist who held on to the brain being the source of consciousness. Whereas there are some other scientists who are not able to describe experiences, consciousness, only on the basis of the brain function. So some experiments are done where people only use their thought processes to make change in the brain. And so that we talk about this is talking about brain plasticity. And so there are such unbiased impartial scientists. So they say that there is some consciousness which has this cognitive and clarity nature which can impact the brain. And so such scientists who do this rigorous kind of investigation and research, so because the religious traditions, Indian religious because philosophical traditions, and particularly where there is the practice of shamatha and vipassana, single body concentration and insight, penetrative insight, and also in Buddhism, which we talk about the transformation of mind. So what is transformed is the mind, and what transforms the mind is the mind itself. And then the problems, the negative emotions and so forth, which actually taint our perceptions and experiences, is in the mind itself. And what is tainted is the mind itself. And therefore, in Buddhism, we only need to think about the mind itself. And so, regarding the explanation of mind or consciousness, there's no way other than explaining the mind, because samsara, nirvana is explained on the basis of mind, and then samsara too. And therefore, there there got to be a lot of explanations of mind in Buddhism. And therefore, these impartial scientists they take interest in what I call the Buddhist science, on the basis of which we see the reality, and on the basis of that, then we do the practices, and therefore the Buddha has shown the ground level truth, and then the path and the ground, and the result. And so, although science and technology has reached a very advanced level of progress and development, so a great scientist, Einstein, has said that of all the religious traditions, only Buddhism can go parallel or side by side with Buddhism, with science. I'm sorry. So we are followers of Buddhism traditionally, although we can. There is lots of vast explanations, of profound explanations of in Buddhism, which is taken interest in which even scientists take interest. So we can explain Buddhism to others based with regard to practice of morality, on being honest and just, on the basis of understanding the reality on the ground level, and then develop the philosophical ideas, and then practice warm heart, and produce good people. So we are supposed to be following such a tradition. So whether we really understand Buddhism or not, we are the ones who take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Although we may be able to explain a lot, give explanations, but when it comes to real practice, you may show your true color, as it is said, that when you are happy and at ease, and you may appear to be like a religious person, but then when you confront difficulties, you would actually show your true color. And so, many people who are not traditionally Buddhists take interest in our tradition, Buddhism. And then many Chinese who visit Tibet and really admire Tibetans. As I had said earlier, that we should not cause degeneration to our quality. So Buddhism has a value. And so, of course, we cannot say that everyone on this earth must be, all human beings must be, all people must be Buddhist. I mean, we cannot say this. There's no point in saying this. And so we need to see the value of Buddhism, which is our traditional religion, and it is something which has and which can be actually proved through reason. And when you actually apply the teaching within yourself, it is beneficial also. And therefore, we need to really know what our tradition is as to how to transform our mind, which is taught in the Lam Rim text that we read in the last few many days. And then today we are doing the tantric initiation with regard to which comes under the tantric class. So regarding tantra, there is non-Buddhist tantra. They also have the visualizations and practice based on chakras, wind energy. I mean the drops and energies, and the channels. So at one point I met some Hindu practitioner in Gorakhpur. they have the practice of what is known as holding the vase. And then he also told me that they have the practice of projecting one's body out of the mind and transferring into other bodies. So some people say that, of course, without knowing Buddhist Tantra is Hinduism, we need, therefore, to make distinction between Buddhist Tantra and Hindu non-Buddhist Tantra. So as soon as we do a Daiti Yoga practice, we need to do that within the practice of dissolving ourselves into emptiness. So in every Daiti Yoga practice, there is this phrase which says, dissolve into emptiness, or everything dissolves into emptiness. And therefore, since Buddhist Tantra is based on this understanding of emptiness, it differs from non-Buddhist Tantra. And this understanding of selflessness or emptiness must serve as a factor to overcome the cognitive obscurations. And so, in order to be able to do that, we are going to do the tantric initiation, which comes under the Kriya Yoga Tantra, the Action Tantra, and within which there are different lineages, and the lineage that this particular initiation belongs to is the lotus lineage, and within which we are doing the Jindrasik initiation, Avalokiteshvara, with 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes. And Tibet is known as these very the chosen or the special lands related to Avalokiteshvara, as we find mentioned in the sutras as well, when the Buddha, where Buddha mentions, the Buddha, Shakyamuni mentions that Buddha, Tibet is the very special land connected to Avalokiteshvara, and Avalokiteshvara is the embodiment of all the compassion of all the Buddhas. So Mahayana, the teaching boils down to the practice of bodhicitta, the cultivation. And so the practices pertaining to the beings of intermediate scope and the beings of small scope actually are the preliminary practices that leads to the cultivation of bodhicitta. So our main practice is this. Bodhicitta, the spirit of enlightenment, as we come across this phrase, my guru deity, and so here your practice is Jindrasik is related to our practice of compassion and the bodhicitta. And so Jindrasik, being the embodiment of compassion of all the Buddhas, is related particularly to this practice of bodhicitta, compassion. And Tibetans biologically seem to also have some affinity with Avalokiteshvara. And also the Trans-Himalayan regions of India, and other countries, as well as Mongolian and so forth. So you are the people from the Tibetans and other traditional Buddhists following the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. Of course, you are related to Avalokiteshvara. And in China, Kuan Yin is considered regarded very highly and sacred. And then people from the Western countries, you were not traditional Buddhist, but whether we call it your the imprints from your past lives, or whether we say that because of your investigation, by using this intelligence, you found Buddhism and then chose Buddhism as your religion. And so, for all of us, our main practice is bodhicitta. And therefore, Avalokiteshvara, if you make Avalokiteshvara your own deity, the special deity in your meditation for cultivation of bodhicitta, it would be very good. And so in order to do this initiation of Avalokiteshvara, we need first to go through the preliminary process. And so we are actually doing the preliminary process and the actual initiation in one sequence. And so first, His Holiness is doing the Gektor, which is an offering of Dharma, a ritual cake to appease spirits or some kind of negative spirits or evil spirits who might otherwise hinder this practice of giving the initiation and doing the preliminary to the initiation. So these obstacles or the interrupters are summoned. So the Dharma is blessed. So from everything is dissolved into emptiness, and from within this state of emptiness, the a vast container is arises, and then containing these offerings. So these interrupters are asked to come forth and accept this dharma offering, and are asked to leave this place in a peaceful way. And then if they don't listen, they are told that if you don't listen to me, when I ask you gently to leave this place, and I will now ask you to drive your way forcefully. So they are sent away. So as I said before, so this initiation is given to, as this tantra says, of course, the monastics, nuns and monks have their own vows already, the monastic vow, celibacy vow, the vow of celibacy. Whereas for the lay people now, if you could take the layperson's vows, upasaka or upasaki vows, and on the basis of that, if you could take the initiation, it would be very good. So the lay people, amongst the lay people, if you wish to take the five precepts of a lay person, the five precepts being not killing, not stealing, not committing rape. So whether you take a vow or not, if you commit these negative actions, you would have to face legal suits. So you cannot say that I'm not going to take the upasaka vow, but go to steal or kill somebody or steal somebody's possessions or commit rape. You cannot do that. You cannot say that. So in any case, you would have to keep away from these three negative actions. And therefore, with a goal to attain liberation, which is the freedom from all the negative emotions, and ultimately to become omniscient state, I mean to reach the omniscient state of Buddhahood, and if you keep these vows, I mean it would be good. And then the fourth precept is telling the grave lie, which is to proclaim that you, even though you do not have any supernatural or supernormal powers, you are claiming to have them. Of course, for the ordinary people, this may not you may not be at risk of committing this kind of grave lie. But for people like me, who sit on thrones and give teachings to others, and then they may have this kind of risk, and then they also would when they are desperate lie to people, saying that they have clairvoyance or bodhicitta experience and so forth. And so, if you do it intentionally, if you commit this kind of grave lie intentionally, then this is the a grave lie. But there are some people who kind of lie to others without really being aware of what they say. And so there was once one Westerner. He told me that he had dreams of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Perhaps he saw Thangka paintings of them in his dream, and he said, "Maybe I had reached, I have reached the first ground of Bodhisattvas." So I didn't say it's not the case, but I told him that there are many other qualities that you develop when you reach this first ground of Bodhisattvas. So there are such people who are totally disillusioned when they see such good dreams about deities and lamas and so forth, and claim that they have very special qualities. And so those of you, the Westerners, the fifth precept is giving up alcohol, with which you may have some problem, the Westerners and other lay people. So it would be best if you could give up alcohol. If you cannot give up, then I usually tell this story that in the 1960s in Dharamsala there was a old Tibetan man who had come from the western part of Tibet, and he took these five precepts from my senior tutor, Ling Rinpoche. And having given these precepts, then when Ling Rinpoche explained the precepts and came to explaining about not taking alcohol, this man said, "I cannot give up alcohol." And so Ling Rinpoche very skillfully and kindly told him that in that case, take very little chang, not to the point of getting drunk. And so, in your case, even if you have to take alcohol, don't drink alcohol to the point of getting drunk. The best is not to take alcohol at all. And so if you think that you cannot take all the five precepts, then there's a possibility of taking one or two or most of these precepts. But here we are going to do all the five precepts. And so first of all, those who wish to take this vow, please make three prostrations. If you have space to stand up and make and prostrate, imagine the Buddha in the space. So the Buddha, who is our founder teacher. So as Master Tsongkhapa says, I prostrate to you, the marvelous and wondrous teacher. So think that he is your only protector and refuge, guardian, and so make three prostrations to the Buddha first. And then make three prostrations again to me, who is going to give you the vows. Only to the lay people, please. So I'm not saying that I am somebody very holy or sacred, but this tradition has come down in an unbroken lineage, beginning with the Buddha. And so we have this tradition of taking the Upasaka vows and then becoming a Rabjung, and also taking novice vows. And then when you come of age to become fully ordained monks, then you do receive that. And so those of you who are taking this Upasaka vow, please kneel on your right knee. And whatever vow you take, it has to be based on taking refuge in the three jewels. So with regard to this practice of taking refuge, the Buddha is the teacher, and then the Dharma is the actual refuge, and then Sangha are our helpers or assistants. So the Dharma jewel is our actual refuge, which in turn means we are taking refuge in the in Nirvana, the state beyond sorrow. And so this is to say that samsara is brought about by our craving. We are propelled into this samsara by craving, and so Nirvana means freedom from this craving. And also the Buddhahood, so think of this, the total freedom from all defilements, defilements, and reach think of Buddhahood. Please repeat, please, Master, please pay heed to me. I say your name here, known by this name, from now on until I die. I take refuge in the Buddhas. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. Master, please hold me as an Upasaka until my death. Now repeat this. Master, please pay attention to me. I, from now until my death, will take refuge in the Buddha, will take refuge in the Dharma, and will take refuge in the Sangha. Master, please consider me as an Upasaka until my death. And so, you have said these lines two times. Now, at the end of the third, when you say, consider me as an Upasaka, or a layperson with vows, When you say this, when you repeat these lines, consider me as an upasaka, I will snap my fingers like this, and at that point, feel convinced that you have received this upasaka with five precepts. Master, please pay heed to me. I, known by this name, from now on until my death, I take refuge in that Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. Master, please consider me as an upasaka, until my death. Okay, please sit down. So now you have become Genyans or Upasaka. And with regard to the Bodhicitta ceremony, we'll do it during the process of the initiation. And now let us give a mandala, offer a mandala of. So, inseparable from the victorious pervasive Lord, the great holder of Vajra, complete master of the doctrine, refuge and protector, Lord of the victorious ones, omniscient one, great gift, venerable Jambil Mawang, Lozan Yeshe, Denzin Gyatso, Lord of the three planes of existence, the unequaled one, glorious and noble one, in order to receive the holy, in order to receive from the your holy mouth the profound Dharma discourse. So let us just say the one verse, mandala offering here. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru's four continents, the sun and the moon, I imagine as a Buddha field and offer it up to you. May all beings enjoy this pure land.
To je wang ge she ne da la jing ge la tu su.
Di temi da dashin lunga temi da ngedi lo shas. Nye di lo shas, tau shen lu nga ma la vche. Nye di lo ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents and the sun and the moon. I visualize it as Buddha filled and offer it up to you. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niryataya Me.
Oh,
Gauravindu. Personification of all the Buddhas of the three times, my guru, please accept this and shower on us the rain of the profound and vast Dharma. So this personification, O Guru, personification of the Buddhas of the all the Buddhas of the three times. Remain forever by accepting this offering. Sikare. Komda. The precious Guru live adamantly without destruction and decay. This land surrounded by snow mountains, in the land surrounded by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and benefit. Lord Chandrasik, Denzin Gyatso. Please stay and live until the end of, until the samsara ends. Chungwe ne chenre singwa tenzin kyazo Shape sithe pardo ten gyoro chi Sundo chobe lam chechere sinte kongjen ten dhukwan. Protector of the land of snows and the beings of the land of snows who makes ever clear the teachings of dependent origination, emptiness and compassion. May all your noble aspirations be fulfilled without a hindrance. Raya idam gurranamandil kamniyatayam. So in order to take the initiation It is important to have the correct, pure motivation. So in the secret, general secret tantra, it is said some seeking to practice secret mantra wish to enter the mandala here. Some others desire marriage, and still others seek something other than that. And so it is very important to have the pure motivation, whether your dharma becomes turns out to be a dharma for you, or whether the Mahayana teachings become Mahayana dharma for you depends on your motivation. So with the motivation to overcome your enemies and to safeguard your relatives and for fame, name, and so forth, if you do dharma practice for these purposes, then instead of becoming virtuous, it may turn out to be non-virtuous. And so Kungdang Tenpe Dreme has said that tantric practices, which are meant for the final enlightenment, if this is used for mere longevity or to gain wealth and also to overpower others, and also to overcome some kind of obstacles, and saying that, oh, I have some obstacles, therefore I need to make my fire puja offering, and so forth. We do these things. So if you do these things, and then the gods of wealth in the Kriya Tantra, there are these gods of wealth and so forth. Of course, there may be those who have actually met with the Buddha, and also those who are bound by oath, our past great beings, masters. So such practices, if we actually use them merely for gaining wealth and so forth in this life alone, such deities that are bound by oath and also by the Buddha actually are meant for to help us, to lead us to Buddhahood. So it's like asking someone who can really do a great deal of things and asking such a person to please make me a tea for a very trivial purpose. So we may say we are actually doing propitiating or beseeching help from the Mahakala and Balden Lhamo and so forth. And for a very trivial purpose, it's not right. So it said, some seeking to practice secret mantra wish to enter the mandala here. And then there are also those who seek one's own benefit. There used to be once ethnic Tibetan who lived in Shimla, and she came to see me every year around the loss of Tibetan New Year time, and always whenever she came to see me, she would make this prayer, please do not let me into hell realm. So as if I, whether the old lady herself goes to hell or not, it was in my hands. But of course, she was ignorant. She didn't really understand Dharma, but was really devoted. And so to have a long life and overcome sickness and so forth, with that motivation, if you reach try to take this initiation, that's a wrong motivation. And you should not also have the wrong motivation, which is wishing to attain liberation for your own sake alone. Now, the kind of motivation that you have to bear is, while you have this opportunity to practice the path, that leads to omniscient state. From now on, you should make this determination and pledge that you will not harm any other sentient beings. Make this firm pledge. And even if you cannot help others, you will not harm them. And therefore, have this motivation to reach Buddha, to reach Buddhahood in order to help all sentient beings infinite, like the expanse of the space. So the intelligent one who seeks the future lives should faithfully strive for transcendence and enter the mandala, not desiring the result of this life. If one strives for this life alone, the purpose of future life will not be fulfilled. Striving for the benefit of future lives will enhance the results in this one. And next is the students arising into or transforming into the principal deity of the mandala. Here, you are arising into Avalokiteshvara. So develop the attitude that you are not in the ordinary form. Instantaneously, you transform into the aspect of great compassionate one with one face and two hands. So, as I said earlier, when you do tantra, tantric practice, you need to transform yourself into a deity from within the understanding of emptiness. You cannot just imagine this body made up of flesh, blood, and bones, and so forth, as transforming, becoming our Avalokiteshvara, just like that. And so, first think about this I. We have a sense of I, and so how does this I appear to your mind? So, whether it's yourself or things outside, others, everything appears to your mind as if they have some kind of independent objective existence, true existence. So even in dreams, we have such appearance in our mind. So of course, this true appearance will be there until attain the path which is totally absorbed, I mean, directly perceives emptiness. So what appears to our mind is that things are independently, objectively existent, and not that they are designated by our conceptions and language. If this were true, if things were to have any objective existence, then, for example, when you think about yourself, this I, if you try to find the I within the body and the mind, you will not be able to find anything that you can point to as being this I. And so just think about it. This solid I that appears to me, to my mind, because of misperception, misconception, just determine in your life, in your mind, that there is no such an objectively existent solid I. So since here we are doing this meditation on emptiness in relation to a deity, we also need to withdraw all the ordinary perceptions and also this impure body and mind has to be withdrawn. The perception of it has to be withdrawn. And so, everything, including this I, is empty of inherent existence. So meditate on emptiness, and from within this meditation on emptiness, then think that you transform into Avalokiteshvara with one face, two hands. and making request. Oh, please repeat. Oh, please, great, please. You are my teacher. So, Master, please pay attention to me, to the firm way of great enlightenment. I beg you, oh, great protector, please grant me the pledges. Please grant spirit of enlightenment to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. Oh, protector, please lead me to the supreme city of liberation. Oh, protector, please lead me to the supreme city of liberation. And next is fostering the firm conviction in Tantrayana and making a pledge. And so, I say, my child, come here. I'm calling you, my child. And I will correctly teach you this ritual of the conduct for the Mahayana secret mantrayana. You are a great and suitable vessel. And so all the Buddhas of the three times became fully enlightened, relying on bodhicitta. And so, if you have one thing, you reach enlightenment, Buddhahood, and if you do not have it, you won't reach it, which that is bodhicitta. So as I said before, with compassion, you focus your mind on, direct your mind towards sentient beings, and with wisdom, you focus your mind on enlightenment. Now, in order to be able to fully fulfill the interests of other sentient beings, you need to know the different mental dispositions, interests, proclivities of others, without which you cannot fulfill their interest. Now, in order to be able to give teachings in accordance with these different interests and proclivities and mental dispositions of sentient beings, effortlessly, so which has to be understood on the basis of understanding what is known as the one taste of body, speech, and mind, or the three secrets, wherever the mind goes, there is the body and the speech. So without attaining this body, speech, and mind, being of one taste, you may be able to serve others, but just partially. So as we see, my mind goes there, but my body cannot. So it would be like that. So this one taste, body, speech, and mind, being of one taste, does not come from incompatible causes, but compatible causes. So it's not just enough to say that, oh, this is the quality of the Buddhas, but these qualities, the Buddha's mind, body, and speech, are also compounded phenomena. So even though these qualities are within the Buddha, within a Buddha, since they come through causes and conditions, they are compounded phenomena, they have to follow the same rule as any other compounded phenomena, that they must come through compatible causes and causes which have which are homogeneous to them or are of similar type, and therefore they must be present. The causes must be present during a trainee level and at the level of a trainee. And so, in Buddhahood, there is the union of body and mind. And we use the term Dharmakaya. The speech being Sambhogakaya, and then the body of a Buddha being Nirmanakaya, the emanation body. So since Tantra has such a profound method in the highest yoga Tantra to achieve such a goal, Therefore, as preliminary to that, we have the three lower tantras, Yoga Tantra, and then Charya Tantra, and then the Kriya Tantra. So what is taught in these lower tantras actually are taught with the highest resultant state of Buddhahood that you can attain in reliance on the highest yoga tantra. So how do we talk about these, the body, speech, and mind at the Buddha level of being of one taste? We need to now make the distinction between subtle and the gross states of mind. And so the subtlest one is the subtle clear light, which is mounted on the subtlest wind or energy, the motile energy. And so on the basis of these two, the subtlest mind and the subtlest energy, so which is even within an insect or a bug, so which has a mind, and so that mind has this basic nature of clarity and awareness, nature of the mind, and therefore they have the Buddha nature. And therefore, this even at this basis level, we have the subtlest mind and the subtlest energy. And so, the Buddha's mind and the body is explained on the basis of this ground reality. And so, through our yogic practice, we actually dissolve the gross states of mind and energy into, and then actualize or make these subtlest ones manifest. And so according to Guhyasamaja, we talk about attaining the pure and impure, impure and pure illusory bodies, and in Kalachakra, we talk about the empty form. And then in the Dzogchen practice, we talk about attaining the rainbow body and so forth, which is the self-appearance or of this clear light mind, the innate clear light. And so without relying on the tantra, tantric path, there's no way you can attain the body, speech, and mind being of one taste. And so Kunkyan Lama Jamyang Shepa says, so Tantra shows the highest antidote to the defilements. Although in Sutrayana, emptiness is taught, but in Sutrayana, the highest subjective mind, which is the innate clear light mind, is not taught. And although in Sutrayana there is explanation of or mention of the cognitive obscurations, but in Tantra, the highest method to overcome that is taught, which is not taught in the Sutrayana. And so, in Dzogchen, we have the nine yanas. First, we go through the first three yanas, and which leads to the next three, and then we have the last three yanas. So all these are taught or practiced on the basis of this clear light, innate clear light mind.
So
the master is calling on you. Come here, my child, I will correctly teach you this ritual of contact with Mahayana mantra. You are a great and suitable vessel possessing the Vajra body, speech, and mind. All the Buddhas of the three times found the perfect and equal exalted wisdom through the power of this Vajra mantra. The line of Shakya, Shakyamuni, and the other supreme ones use the unparalleled practices of secret mantra of to destroy the hordes of incredibly powerful evils after knowing the world would follow them. The world would follow them. So next we will do the bodhisattva generating bodhicitta, and then through a ritual, and then take bodhisattva vows. So this tradition of taking the bodhisattva through generating bodhicitta through ceremony seems to have been broken at some point. So in one time in Bodh Gaya, Ling Rinpoche took bodhisattva vows in front of the Buddha statue, and then I took from Ling Rinpoche. And so which is following the bodhisattva bhumi. So this tradition seems to have disappeared. So it's all this is saying. So please say this. And so, with regards to called bringing down the invoking wisdom beings to come down. If you are at a trinity level where you have reached the union state of a trinity level, then there is no need for to invoke the wisdom beings to come down and to dissolve in you. Of course, if you can take it with your faith and conviction, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are always there, right in front of you. And so imagine the Buddha and the Bodhisattvas being present in the space before us. And so, due to certain circumstances, we have gathered here. We are followers of the Buddha. We take refuge in him. And so, when we are really devoted to the Buddha, I mean, there is no way the Buddhas can actually forget us. So they always and have their compassion to us. So at the end of the Heart Sutra, we find mention of Buddha actually acknowledging what Avalokiteshvara had said by saying, "Well said, well said." Son of the lineage is like that, is like that. And so, anyway, we are followers of the Buddha, and we have devotion and faith. And so we have the conditions for the blessings of the Buddha to come to us. And so imagine the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in the space, and we'll say the seven limb practice, just the verse, final verse, dedicating the root. Whatever slight positive potential I may have created by paying homage, offering, and confessing, rejoicing, and requesting the Buddhas stay and teach, I now dedicate all this for full awakening. Whatever slight positive potential I may have created by paying homage, making offering, and confessing, rejoicing, requesting the Buddhas to stay and teach, I now dedicate all this for full awakening. So those who have bad knees or bad legs, just keep seated, whereas those who have no problems, please kneel on your right knee. So please repeat these lines. Buddhas and the three on the ten directions and bodhisattvas, please pay attention to me. I, known by this name, from now on, until I reached the essence of enlightenment, I take refuge in the Buddha, the best of the bipeds. I take refuge in the Buddhas and bodhisattvas in the ten directions. Please pay heed to me. I, known by this name, say your name. From now on, until I reach the essence of enlightenment, I take refuge in the Dharma, the best of freedom from attachment. Buddhas and bodhisattvas in the ten directions, please pay heed to me. I, known by this name, from now on, until I reach the essence of enlightenment, I take refuge in the Arya bodhisattvas, the best of congregations. So, although this ritual is quite long, to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly, I take refuge until I'm enlightened. To the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly, I take refuge until I'm enlightened. So, having taken refuge, now please generate aspiring bodhicitta. Buddhas and bodhisattvas of the ten directions, please pay attention to me. I, known by this name, in this life and in other lives. My practice of generosity, giving morality, patience, practicing patience, and whatever virtues I have created, all of this, just as the arahats of the path, and the Buddhas, bodhisattvas, and the bodhisattvas on the great grounds, just as they have generated the mind of enlightenment, I too, known by this name, will generate this aspiring bodhicitta, aspiring to the final fully enlightenment. I will liberate those not liberated. I will release those not released. I will relieve those not relieved. And I will lead to the full state beyond sorrow, those who have not reached it. Through the accumulations that come through generosity and so forth, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. So this is generating the aspiring bodhicitta. Now, think about this aspiring bodhicitta and pledge that you will not give it up at all. And so, of course, there are people who do self-generation of deities and so forth, and self-initiation and so forth, and you will do this ritual. And so those who do not have such practices, you should also remind yourself of this aspiring bodhicitta. Today, my life has borne fruit. This human life is meaningful. I'm born into the Buddha as a Buddha's child. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. So with this, we have completed the aspiring bodhicitta. And next is blessing your body, speech, and mind. So, you having arisen into the Avalokiteshvara, imagine Om on your crown, Ah at your throat, and Hum at your heart. So, these three letters mark your three places. So, when I say Hum, Ah, Om, and touch your heart, throat, and the forehead, the three letters on these places. Imagine that imagine receiving all the blessings of the body, speech, and mind of Avalokiteshvara. So here, the term chinlap for blessing has the meaning that Qin means magnificence, splendor, and Lap has the meaning of changing, transforming, as Ling Rinpoche always used to explain to me. And so, the meaning here is making transformation through the magnificence. And so, through the Lama, the magnificence or the of the Lama and all the objects of refuge, so our mind, which is selfish, is transformed into cherishing others over oneself, and that this the undisciplined mind is transformed into a disciplined one, and also this clinging to true existence, independent existence and things, transforming into the realization of non-inherent existence and things, the perception. And so we are creating the auspicious circumstance and here at the outset. And so imagine that these three letters are touched, Hung, Ah, and Om, marking your heart, throat, and forehead, and you are blessed. And so having been blessed in the past, when you see something with your eyes, or hear some sound, or smell with your nose, when you actually come across these objects of senses, they appear to have some independent existence, and you also cling to them as having that kind of existence. And so, whereas this has been the case with us in the past so far, now you should be able to see these things as like an illusion, having no intrinsic or inherent existence. And so, you have already dissolved yourself into a deity and dissolved yourself into emptiness, and from there arisen into this deity, Avalokiteshvara. And therefore, the sense of I that you have now should be a sense of I based on this pure body and mind of Avalokiteshvara, even in imagination here. And so, this everything that appears to you, this sight, sound, smell, and touch, and other phenomena, should appear to you as if they have, like an illusion, that they do not have any inherent or objective existence, independent existence at all. So we'll not go through the process of throwing the neem stick. So the mantra for this, the blessed water, a handful of water that you will receive, so, and it is said that the all the defilements are cleansed, and as for as a reason for that, what is said is that because all the defilements are do not have any inherent existence, and so we may be able to say that once the three visions of whitish appearance and so forth have ceased, by actualizing the innate clear light, when you are able to reach that point, then these three will never arise in your mind again. So until you have overcome these three visions completely from your mind, you are a sentient being. Once you have overcome all of this, then you are an enlightened being. And so it is said by both Nagabodhi that until you have overcome the three visions, you will not attain omniscient state. Whereas by using this clear light, the innate clear light mind, when you are able to reach such a state where these three are overcome so that they can not arise in you anymore, then you have reached omniscient state. So because things are empty of inherent existence, so all these objects of knowledge is pervaded or encompassed by the emptiness, and therefore do not think that things have independent existence, but remind yourself of or reflect on the empty nature of things. And so, from the vantage point of this, the innate clear light nature of the clear light mind, that you cannot talk about pure and impure realms. And so, as in, it is said in the Dzogchen teachings, so using with these reasons, take a handful of water, a scoop, as we say, a handful of water, and then you take three sips. First, take a sip to rinse your mouth, and then take take three more sips, which is to symbolize that your body and mind and speech are cleansed. And we'll not have the distribution of the kusha grass because we do not have to check our dreams here. And therefore, I'm going to distribute the blessed string. And so you'll get just a small amount of water, this blessed water. Take four sips. First, rinse the mouth. With the first, you rinse the mouth, your mouth, and then with the second, third, and fourth, you imagine as you take them to that this blessed water cleanses your body, speech, and mind. And then for the string, the mantra is Om Buddha Maitri Raksha Raksha Sarvan Swaha. And then next is inspiring delight in the disciples and giving instructions on them. So the water should be distributed as far as it can cover. So this handful of water that you receive, if you don't get it, don't mind. When we distribute the next blessed water from the vase, then everyone should get it. And so with this, we are done with the preliminary process of the initiation of Avalokiteshvara. Now we are into the actual initiation. And so, with this initiation, what is done is your mind stream is made matured. In the highest yoga tantra, we have the four initiations. So, because we have the seed for the four Buddha bodies innately within us. And so, if we think about the only the uncompounded Buddha nature, then we do not need to talk about being a seed or anything. But here we are thinking about the compounded phenomena. And so in Buddhahood, there is this term, which is this spontaneously emerging Buddha body. in Kala Chakra. It mentions the three Buddha bodies, the Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya, which is based on that innate quality. And so these seeds are made manifest in you. And so to sum up, to summarize, we have the four bodies can be included into two, which are the Rupakaya, the physical dimension of a Buddha, the physical or the form body, and then the Dharmakaya. So we have this, the energy, which goes with the subtlest mind, which is the substantial cause for the Buddha bodies, just like a seed, which you when you sow it into the ground, then there will be sprout and others. And so, in Tantra, we have the maturing initiation, and then the path, which is the liberating path, initiation or empowerment, and then the resultant initiation. And so, in order to give this initiation, we need to have a basis on which this can be actually effective. And therefore, in order to receive initiation, please make a mandala offering. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with the Mount Meru, with the sun and the moon, the four continents. I imagine this at the Buddha field and give it up to you. Please accept it. Bless. May all sentient beings see. Please repeat this. Master, please lead me into the great city of liberation. So, for the time being, since you are not allowed to see the mandala, please put on the blindfold that you have received. And later on, you will be making offering of flowers to the mandala in the mandala. So please keep the flower that you have received, and then hold your hands in this lotus lineage mudra or hand gesture. So open your hands like this, with the two hands touched, touching each other, and open the palms open. Please say this mantra, Om Pema Upavaya Saha. And just like before, and now again, think about this emptiness that I does not exist inherently. As Master Nagarjuna says, a person is neither the earth, water, fire, and so forth, down to the consciousness. And then what is an I? What is a person? And he says, so in the 22nd chapter of Madhyamaka Avatara, Master Nagarjuna says that the Tathagata is neither his body nor different from the body. He is not in the bodies, not in the aggregates, and nor the aggregates are in the Tathagata. And what else is the Tathagata? And so we can use the same line applying to oneself. I can say, for example, regarding myself, I say, And Tenzin Gyatso is neither his aggregates nor the aggregate separate from it and so forth. And sometimes I also use my childhood name, Plamo Tundrup. So Lhamo Tundrup is neither the aggregates nor the nor separate from them, neither the aggregates are not in the neither Lhamo Tundrup is in the aggregate and so forth. So you can also think about yourself as you have already imagined yourself as a deity. Make that visualization more clearer now. And imagine a hum syllable at your heart. And so, we have already generated bodhicitta, the aspiring bodhicitta, which is this attitude or the wish to become a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings. We should not leave it just to lip service or mere words, but we need to practice whatever we can in terms of giving, practicing generosity, practicing morality, patience, and joyous effort, concentration, and wisdom, and so forth. So whatever we can do now, we should do to benefit other sentient beings. Even the tantric rituals and the four what are known as the four activities should be done within this attitude of benefiting other sentient beings. So you should think of keeping all the bodhisattva vows like dearly as you hold on to your dear life. So without hypocrisy, I will engage in the bodhisattva practices correctly. And therefore, you are going to take the bodhisattva vows. And here, you are taking the example of the Buddhas and bodhisattvas. Just as they have generated bodhicitta, I will do it. I will generate bodhicitta, and just as they have engaged in the bodhisattva practices, I will do so. And engage in the bodhisattva practices to reach Buddhahood. First, you are going to take So you're going to say, I go for refuge to the three jewels, and then I confess individually all my negativities, and I rejoice in the merit of creating beings. So having done that, then this Tathagata Garbha, the Buddha nature that is within us, which is at this stage and tainted by all kinds of defilements, I will make this into a purified state. I will use this to reach that state where I'm free from all the defilements, the omniscient state. And so, although we wish to help ourselves to fulfill our goals, and if we only think about ourselves, there's no way we can fulfill our own goal as well, let alone fulfilling goal, the interest of others. If you have bodhicitta, you can fulfill the goal of yourself as well as others. And therefore, you say, I take hold in my mind, and I take to my heart the perfect state of Buddhahood. And then you say, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And I do so to attain the enlightened mind. In order to fulfill the aims of myself and others, I shall develop a supreme enlightened motive. So first, you will lead other sentient beings to higher rebirths, fortunate rebirths, and then you will lead them to the definite goodness and liberation, and then ultimately to the omniscient state of Buddhahood. And therefore, you say, I shall develop the supreme enlightened motive, and towards I will invite all my sentient beings as my guests. And then you say, I shall engage in this supreme enlightened conduct, which means that I will engage in the bodhisattva practices by taking bodhisattva vows, which comprise the 18, keeping away from the 18 downfalls and 46 secondary infractions. And so, with regard to the 18 root downfalls, we say that I will not think, praise myself and belittle others or despise others and so forth, because these actually come from your selfishness, total selfishness. And therefore, you say, I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. Please repeat these lines. Kneel on your right knee. So somehow, if you do not have the courage to take bodhisattva vows, still make an aspiration that follow in the footsteps of the Buddhas and bodhisattvas in the future. But as Gyungkyan Lama Jamyang Shepa has said, even if you were to fall into hell realm by taking bodhisattva vows and tantric vows and so forth, it is worth undergoing that, he says. So, because of having taken bodhisattva vows and tantric vows, you would have left some very stable imprint on your mind from this. And so there is a story which Charanmacha used to tell me. The Buddha was going to give some teachings to some disciples who, if they had received the teaching, they would be received the teaching of the Four Noble Truths, then they would have reached some realizations, some kind of a level. But Manjushri actually interrupted and caused hindrance, and these disciples were actually led to hell realm. And so the Buddha had actually said, so because the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are able to see things which are very remote in time and space, so although these disciples were led into lower realms of hell realm, but in the end, when they come out of that realm, then they were able to engage into the bodhisattva practices and go through the bodhisattva path. And whereas if they had received the teaching on the Four Noble Truths, they may have been able to attain what is known as the stream enterer and so forth. But if they had done so, then it would have taken them much longer to enter into the Bodhisattva Mahayana path. And so, just make your aspiration to be able to engage in the Bodhisattva practices and take the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, of course, have their blessings for us. And so it is said that just keeping a single vow at such a time like today, a degenerate time, is much more beneficial than keeping all the vows of a monastic during the time of the Buddha. So people, of course, admire me, and the Chinese authorities sometimes, of course, they call me a demon. So Tibetans inside Tibet are living in under such a difficult situation today. And so, and I'm living in exile. And we are, of course, living in exile. And so, because of our people who have actually helped us, the Indian government and people, and also others who have actually helped us during our difficult time. So, at such a time now, we are very fortunate to be able to bodhisattva vow, and so think that this is it is worthwhile taking bodhisattva vows. And if not now, when can should I take it? I go for refuge. Please repeat. I go for refuge to the three jewels. I confess individually all my negativities. I rejoice in the merits of beings, all beings. I take to heart the state of Buddhahood. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and I do so to attain enlightened mind. In order to fulfill the aims of oneself, I shall develop supreme enlightened motive, and I shall invite all sentient beings as my guests. I shall act engage in the delightful supreme enlightened conduct. May I become a Buddha to benefit all beings. Please say this three times. I take refuge in the three jewels. I confess all my misdeeds individually. I rejoice in the merit of all beings. And I take hold of the Buddhahood. And I take refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and I am enlightened. I do so to attain an enlightened mind. In order to fulfill the benefit of my interest of myself and others, I shall develop the supreme enlightened motive, and I shall invite all my sentient beings as my guests. I shall act with supreme enlightened conduct. May I become a Buddha to benefit all. And so, just as the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the past have taken the Bodhisattva vows in the past and have kept them, likewise I will do so. And at this third repetition now, when you say, may I become a Buddha to benefit all, it feel that feel convinced that you receive the full set of Bodhisattva vows. I go for refuge to the rituals. I confess individually all my misdeeds. I rejoice in the merit of all beings. I take to heart the perfect state of Buddhahood. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. I do so to attain the enlightened mind. In order to fulfill the aims of myself and others, I shall develop the supreme enlightened motive, and towards all and I invite all sentient beings as my guests. I shall act, engage in the supreme enlightened conduct. May I become a Buddha to benefit all beings. And so, because of our habituation with the selfish attitude, please repeat this. Which intelligent one will despair, riding the horse of Bodhicitta, which does away all despondency and leads one from bliss to bliss. So this should inspire to have courage in engaging the Bodhisattva practices. So I have been talking about this in the past days, as well as I wish to say today. So Master Adisha has said that the sun and moon, like bodhicittas, are worthwhile generating, even if it takes aeons. And so he said we should not think that it takes so long to cultivate bodhicitta, like the sun and the moon. So it's worthwhile to cultivate them. Bodhicitta, this altruistic spirit of enlightenment, and the understanding of emptiness. You should think that these two, apart from these two practices, cultivating these two, and there's no other thing that I should do. And so on a daily basis, you should meditate on these two types of bodhicitta. So first have this intention or determination to become a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings. Please meditate for a minute or so. So even the smallest insects and the evil spirits who harm others and gods, nagas, and rakshas, and so forth, and also those who criticize Buddhism, the teaching of the Buddha, and who harm the Buddha Dharma. So all of them are same in wanting happiness and not wanting suffering like oneself. And therefore, we all do things with that wish. So we are all in the same boat of wanting happiness and not wanting suffering. However, they may be acting in evil ways and so forth. All of us have this wish to be happy and to have happiness and not suffering. So all sentient beings, including oneself, has the right to achieve the goal of happiness and overcoming suffering. It is not the case that when you behave well, you have the right, and when you don't behave, when you misbehave, you don't have the right to happiness and overcoming suffering. So all sentient beings, as from the point of view of being sentient beings, they have this wish to have to be happy and not suffer. And when you think about yourself, of course you are a single person. Regarding me, for example, even if I say I'm a bhikshu and so forth, I'm just one person. And therefore, if you are intelligent, you will see that the others who are countless, more in number than yourself, a single person, is more important. So, if you forget the larger number of beings and think of yourself alone, you will not have happiness in this life, in samsara, and you will be further and further from the state of omniscience. And therefore, think of the pros and cons of selfish attitude, self-centered attitude, and cherishing others over oneself. And therefore, there's no way when you think along these lines that you should think of benefiting all other sentient beings. Now, in order to benefit all sentient beings, bring up this determination in your mind that you will work to reach Buddhahood. So, meditate on bodhicitta, thinking to benefit all sentient beings. So everyone is quiet and really thinking. So I had this bad thought. While we all are very quiet, silent, if someone farts, that's not good. So when I was in Australia last time, in a public talk, there was a lady from who was from Nigeria originally. I think it was in Adelaide, in the public talk. So this lady, of course, whenever I meet anybody with a large number of people or just a single person, I always think myself as a simple human being. And so she said that she has upset stomach, and I asked if she had actually she farts, and she said yes. And so I told her that when I was in on planes and I have this gastric problem, I would look here and there, and if nobody's looking, then I would actually fart. And there was once a Tibetan official named Gadang Losan Yishi, and he was actually going on a circumambulation, and in front of him, he said there was an Indian man and who was actually, while working, farting along the road. And so, since he was doing that, then Gadang also farted, thinking that that would be a big deal. And so when Gadang did that, the Indian man actually looked at him, so in amazement. And so when the Indian man himself was farting, it was not a big deal. But when somebody else did it, it was a big deal for him. So that's really nonsense, isn't it? So in any case, so now this bodhicitta that you have generated, imagine that it transforms into a white disk of light at your heart. And so Master Nagarjuna and also, I mean, in the Prajaparamita Sutras, there's teaching on Prajaparamita Sutras teach emptiness everywhere. And then Master Nagarjuna also has taught emptiness. And so, as we find in the lineage guru prayer, the Buddha is the supreme amongst all the teachers. And so, we need to apply the antidote to the root of our suffering, which is ignorance about the reality of things, which is to say this clinging to the true existence, independent existence in things and self. And therefore, we need to combat that with the realization of emptiness. As the 400 verses say, what arises through dependence has no autonomy, and all this is without an autonomy, therefore there is no self. So of course everything around us, when we do not do any kind of analysis or search into the things, they do appear to have some kind of objective independent existence. And if that were the case, that things were to have any true objective existence, then we should be able to, become clearer and clearer as we search for it in the different things. But from the view of emptiness, from the point of view of emptiness, the fact that things are empty of inherent existence, they are all everything is of one taste. So whether it's the Lama or the Guru Shakyamuni, the Buddha, the teacher, when you try to look for the true identity in the person, then they do not exist inherently, and therefore one should come to the conclusion that nothing has any independent existence at all whatsoever. So meditate on emptiness, thinking that nothing whatsoever has any inherent independent existence.
Oh, yeah.
So as it is said in the
So that kind of mind that we have set up while meditating, so I will contemplate on that mind, not just for this life, for the hundreds and thousands of lives to come, and not just having mere understanding of this mind, but through making effort, and we will meditate until we are able to generate that mind effortlessly. And we will make sure that such a kind of mind becomes the actual antidote of the, all the afflicted emotions within us. And with such a motivation, let's follow after this. Om Sarva Yoga Siddha Upadhyayami. Om Sarva Yoga Siddha Upadhyayami. So as you have accepted the, and so from today onwards, and of course I do not have anything to say against or practice, but those who are not following and practicing the same way, from today onwards, when we speak about bodhicitta or the wisdom realizing emptiness, so we need to think about that as much as possible. So eventually it is important that we actually remind about the profound view at least a few times a day. And this is the purpose behind taking empowerments. So even if you take thousands and hundreds of empowerments and initiations, but if you do not practice the bodhicitta and the profound view of emptiness, then there is of no use. So you have manifested, you have visualized the mind of bodhicitta in the form of the moon, and similarly from the spiritual, from the master's heart, a similar of that bodhicitta mind appears from him and dissolves to your own mind through your body, and the bodhicitta mind you have generated before, you have to think that it is certain and stabilized. So next is entering the mandala, and kind of refit as thinking about going around the mandala. Benzasado, Adisidemam, Maharada, Sudenda, Sudoko, Susoko, Benzasado, Adisidemam, Maharada, Sudida, Sudoko, Susoko, Benzasado, Adisidemam. So after that, he's making offerings and doing prostration from the eastern side, and with your hand folded to your forehead and your neck. So on the first on the chord, Om Namah Te Hum, and then next to your neck, Nama Namah Hum Soa, to your heart. And in order to invite the deity, Tujhe Shambho, Dala Abhazhe Dusho, Tujhe Shambho Thamji, Chinje Loshi, Tujhe Shambho, Dala Abhazhe Dusho, Tujhe Shambho Thamji, Chinje Loshi, Tujhe Shambho, Dala Abhazhe Dusho. So from the beams of the Vajra Master and from the mandala, and one have to think that all the benefits and all the blessing of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas being transformed into a single entity and to dissolve into our own mental, dissolve into us, and think that you are all blessed. So next is checking about the color of the sky. You must with the red band on your you must put it on your eye and immediately remove and look at the sky immediately. What appears to you? So sometimes you might see different colors. It may not happen all the time. May all the initiations, it may not, such kind of things may not appear, but sometimes some strange and some unusual colors appear. And repeat after me, Sribenza Koda, Hayagiva, Hulu Hulu Humbe, Sribenza Koda, Hayagiva, Hulu Hulu Humbe, Sribenza Koda, Hayagiva, Hulu Hulu Humbe. So next is the presentation of the power of the truth. So if there is time and leisure, of course, the master has to stand up and go before the mantala and has to recite the presentation, present the power of truth. And Trijan Rinpoche says that from the throne also, the Lama has the custom of just bowing a little bit and recite the power of truth. So since there is no time, I'll also follow in the same way. So next is offering the flower. So the flower, the rosary of the flower that is being given to you is blessed, and you have to visualize that you are being entered into the mantala. And having entered the mantala, so all your obscurations of the speech, mind, and body are clear. So Rinpoche, can you stand up? If possible, then Kanden to Rinpoche. So repeat after me. So the disciples has been already entered inside the mandala, and here the Churumbiche, and when he threw the flower, and you all should visualize that you are throwing the flower, and repeat Pradisa Benzahom. So the flower falls on the center. So center is the Amitabha, and we are all under the class of Amitabha, and you're all, the secret name is the Vajra Padma, or you can also say Dharma Vajra. So the flower that you have offered to the mantala, so once having blessed the flower, so you have to put it on your head, you have to put it on your forehead, and you have to visualize this. You have received the initiation of flower. And you have to visualize as you have been led and guided by the Bodhisattvas for all the time. So take out your red band. So having taken out your red band, you have to visualize that you have directly seen the details of the mantala. So next is to request to see the mantala. So you have to visualize the scene, the mantra directly, and next, as for the main initiation, there are two types, the water initiation and the crown empowerment, the water empowerment and the crown empowerment. The subsequent permission for explaining Dharma, the empowerment of seven kingdoms is auspicious substances. So first offering a mantle for the water empowerment. So next is the request to for the master to give the empowerment. Please repeat after me. Just as Bodhisattva presented great offering to Buddha so that I may be freed, today grant me the space watcher. Grant me the space watcher. So think that you, the students, are placed on the platform in the east of the mantle. There you become the noble Avalokiteshvara on the moon lotus. Water from the action vase is put in the victory vase. Obscurations are clean. The vase water becomes emptiness. And from within emptiness, it turns into vase water of the five wisdoms. The watcher must invite the empowerment deities of the benefit of disciples. Light rays from the free at the heart of the Lama, not distant from great compassionate one, invite all the conquerors and their retinue who abide in 10 directions to bestow the empowerment. Possessing the excellences like a golden mountain, the protector of the three world has abandoned the three streams, possessing the eyes like the open petal of a lotus. So having invited all the deities and visualizing that they have all the crowns and they bestow upon us, they confer the water initiation, and having conferred that, all the negative karmas are clear and may we be able to attain the wisdom body, the Dharma body. The Buddha, this is the first virtuous auspiciousness, the unmoving which indicates the supreme. For now, the three worlds, gods and men make offerings. The holy Dharma, the pacifier of all beings of the nine birds, this is the second worldly virtuous auspiciousness. The Sangha, rich in hearing the Dharma, the focus of offering for gods, men and asuras. The Sangha, the supreme assembly, the humble yet glorious basis, this is the third worldly virtuous auspiciousness. Throw flowers to the disciples. The actual water empowerment, the water of the precious vase of auspiciousness, grants your fortunate beings the empowerment. Karma, afflictions, obscurations are purified, and one's mind becomes moist with bodhicitta. Merely by saving the mantra, the deities make ablutions and requests. So next is the offering. The water empowerment is thus granted and one's whole body is filled with the experience of bliss. All stains are purified. The leftover water collects and arises as a crown ornament of the five Buddha mantles. So next is the crown empowerment. Recite a verse of mantra, offer a mantra to receive the crown empowerment. Next is the request. Repeat after me. Just as a watcher, Buddha presented great offerings to the Buddha so that I may be freed. Today, please grant me the space watcher. Grant me the space watcher. The crown is blessed with the water and action mantra. It then dissolves into emptiness and arises as a crown of the nature of five families. For the benefit of the disciples, the empowerment deities are invited by sending light rays from the seed syllable at the heart of the Lama. So the deities which confer the water empowerment are already dissolved in us. So we are re-inviting the deities who confer the crown empowerment. This is the crown ornament of the five Tathagata families. It bestows empowerment on you, the fortunate ones. It brings to completion the qualities of body, speech, and mind. May you quickly attain the Buddhahood of the five families. The students think that by placing it on their head, empowerment is granted. Merely by reciting that, the ablution is performed. Mm-hmm. the subsequent permission to establish the auspicious connection to become a universal emperor. So having received this, so it became a main, a substantial source for us to attain the form body of the enlightened being, which is called the Rupakaya. Offerings are made as before, listen to the purity of empowerment. The crown ornament is attained, the five sins are purified, the abodes of the five sins powers are transformed. You are empowered to meditate on the yoga with characteristics and potential for the attainment of the form bodies especially placed. Thus the crown empowerment has been attained. So next is the recitation of mantra. So the Vajra Master was a manifestation of Avalokiteshvara, and the Avalokiteshvara of Thousand Arm, and within him manifest or meditate the Vajra Master, and also in the heart of that master, syllable home and free, and on the surrounding the more detailed syllables of the six syllable. So when you repeat after mint as the mantra, as the Vajra Master recite the mantra, as the Vajra Master now, you have to visualize as the actual Avalokiteshvara of Thousand Arm. So having recited the mantra, it fills and it comes to one's own mental continuum and bless us. Namo Ranataya, Namo Aya. Repeat after me. Rizana, Vedarame, Tadagadaya, Arahade, Samya, Sambudaya, Namasava, Tadagadabe, Arahadabe, Samyasam, Bidibe, Namaya, Avalokite, Shuraya, Bodhisadoya, Masadoya, Magaruniga, Tayata, Omtaradara, Diridiri, Duruduru, Edivide, Sadizaya, Basare Basare, Kusume, Kusume Vare, Ilibile, Sidizana, Avanaisova. So maybe the one at for one is okay. Next is the money. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. So today there is a huge gathering. So we all together will recite one rosary of the money, six syllable mantra of Avalokiteshvara, and thinking about all the numberless sentient beings which are even same as the space. And among all the sentient beings, of course, even human beings, there are around 6 billion. And thinking about that, if we all could generate a good heart and a warm heart, of course, a lot of the problems and the troubles that we face will be eliminated. And as we all, that may we be a cause that be a benefit other as long as the space exists. And these are all in terms actually an absence of inherent existence. Then recite the mantra for 110 times. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. Next is so please raise it. So I give it to everyone. So this is the supportive subsequent permission to establish the auspicious connection to become a universal emperor. Imagine in front you of a will. In your right hand a conch, in your left a text from the action tantra class. The will is produced from room, and the conch from last R, the text from the first R. So this is completed. So till here the initiation is completed. So the Lamrim teaching of the eight treaties, eight lineage of the Lamrim teachings, starting with Lama Tsongkhapa's the great middle and the small Lamrim teachings, and also the later ones are completed. And next year, so actually the time and the venue is not decided. Of course, it has to do with my own schedule, as I explained yesterday. So next year, we will be concentrating on Shama Lamrim and the liberation from the palm of enlightenment. Except for these two, all others are completed. So the main important thing is all the attendees must really work hard to practice. We all have strived together for a long time. And so whatever we have strived and worked hard, we have to make benefit use of it. So that is the purpose. So from today onwards, we need to work at least that we have a certain practice within our mental continuum, and that it progress from the time to time. As I explained before, when we think about the merit fields and so on and so on, so of course it is very good if one could generate all those merit fields and other manifestation and other visualizations. But even if one is not able to do that, but just recitation of the 100 gods, the Gandhala Yama, and so on, so even with such a small recitation and prayer, so we can meditate further. And also thinking about the sufferings of the lower rebirths, and thinking about the leisures and advantages of the human rebirth, and also thinking about this verse and the sentences. And initially, at the beginning, it will be nice if you recite a brief of the lineage prayer. And meditation of about the focus about the objects. So whatever is possible, the remaining ones maybe we can think about quickly. So then if we have so many rituals and very difficult and the vast rituals and recitations, sometimes it's very inconvenient. So whatever what is included in your daily recitation prayers, so you could include your practice a part of that. And even within a one day, we could think in the morning or in the afternoon or before going to bed. So whatever the appropriate time is there, we have to make use of the practice. And also when we do the succession yoga, Guru Yoga, of course, we can think it from the sutra part and also both from the tantric part also. Sometimes we pay too importance to the ritual and the ritual becomes very long. And so when the ritual is completed, we feel tired. So this is not so important. The ritual has to be very long. So here, till here is completed. So later after that, we have the conference. So before we have the mantle offering, and after that directly we will have the so there will be interpretation for a few minutes. We are going down to receive offering. Thank you. Gracias.
Oh. Yeah.